Chapter 12. Dustin. In a complete daze, I went through the motions of my daily tasks. I hadn't slept much last night. From the moment Amy's door had slammed, I'd been wide awake. When she'd screamed, I'd been on my feet and out the door, my mind racing with a million thoughts of what might be happening. Bad news over the phone? A burglar? Something? The one thing I hadn't expected was to find her on her knees on the gravel, sobbing in the rain and screaming her late husband's name into the night. She'd seemed so together and unemotional, stoic, after her recent loss. And for a moment, I'd stopped and just stared, not breathing, not moving, trying to make sense of this rock-solid woman cleaving apart and falling to pieces like that. I'd have had an easier time believing my eyes if I'd seen someone effortlessly riding blue through the storm. I didn't even bother grabbing shoes or shirt, just hurried down the stairs and across the mud and gravel. When I put my arm around her, I didn't even think she knew I was there. Not at first, anyway. She'd collapsed against me, and the alcohol stung my eyes even through the heavy rain. Her hands were pressed tightly over her ears like she was trying to block out some sound that had driven her to this in the first place.
"Sam," she'd cried out between sobs. "Sam, I'm so sorry."
I shivered at the memory. And more than that, I shivered at the memory of what I'd thought of her when she'd first come to the ranch. Now that I'd seen her break open like this and knowing more about her than she realized, I couldn't figure out how I'd ever thought she was just cold and indifferent. I felt more than a little guilty for ever making that assumption. I knew what it was like to be hurt. It was only the last year or two the stubborn tan line on my left ring finger had finally faded away completely, mostly because it had taken me almost 2 years to make myself take off my damned wedding band. But I couldn't imagine the amount of pain Amy would have had to bottle up for God knew how long to bring about a breakdown like the one she'd had last night. And how much more was there where that came from? I knew from reading her website that the loss of her husband had been sudden and unexpected. But there had to be more to the story. What had driven her into a bottle and then out into the rain last night? What had driven her here in the first place? Jesus, Amy, what in the world happened? Though my mind was a million miles away, I saddled Ransom and took him into the covered arena to work. As I put him through his paces, though, I couldn't concentrate. The whole time, Amy's emotional breakdown lingered in the back of my mind like last night's storm lingered in the form of a muggy gray drizzle outside. What happened to you, Amy? My chest ached just thinking about what happened last night. Whatever emotions she'd been trying to contain had torn open all at once, and the pain had been palpable even before I'd stepped off the porch. It was more than just grief, I was sure of it. Something about the way she fell apart, the way she seemed to collapse under the weight of more than just an untimely death, made me think whatever it was that had ripped her apart last night started well before her husband died, especially in light of the bruise that she'd tried unsuccessfully to cover when she first came here. Someone had hurt her, and I had a strong suspicion it was that slick-haired guy who'd beamed in the pictures on their farm's website. Under the announcement he'd recently died. I couldn't, for the life of me, imagine why anyone would hurt another human being, just like I couldn't imagine why anyone had hurt Blue or Chip or Star. It didn't make... Ransom jerked underneath me, shying to the side and damn near unloading my ass because I wasn't paying attention. As I righted myself in the saddle, heart pounding from the near fall, I swore quietly at the bird that had kicked up some dust in the corner of the arena. The bird, and my own inability to concentrate on things like not breaking my neck. Focus on the horse. Talk to Amy later. Focus. Amy came down at a little past noon with her damp hair pulled back into her dusty baseball cap. We glanced at each other, but that look didn't last long, and neither of us said anything. As we went about our various tasks, Amy turning horses out and bringing them in while I worked the horses on my schedule, it occurred to me that I'd never realized just how much we crossed paths while we worked. It made sense, I supposed. I just hadn't given it any thought because I hadn't had any reason to be so hyper-aware of where she was, what she was doing, what she wasn't doing, what we weren't saying. She didn't owe me any explanation, but I was worried about her. And damn my inability to even say, "Are you okay?" without choking on my own breath. It didn't help that the persistent drizzle gave us both excuses to keep our hats on. We both wore them all day long anyway, but today a black brim and a blue bill created convenient barriers for preventing any connection between tired, uncertain eyes. Though I usually hated working in my office unless I absolutely had to, I ducked in there around 2:30 to tally up some receipts and finish up some paperwork I'd been putting off. I was way too fucking tired to even try to deal with numbers and paperwork, but it needed to be done, even if it took me twice as long because just keeping my eyes open was a struggle. Better to make a mistake on paper than on a horse, though. I'd just go over it when I was well rested and remembered how to concentrate, and any problems could be fixed with an eraser. Numbers couldn't take advantage of my lack of focus to indulge in or start a bad habit. And numbers wouldn't be shaken or upset if I startled myself out of a daydream and subsequently startled them. About the time I couldn't focus on the print on the endless stack of receipts and invoices, I glanced at my watch. It was close to dinner time, so as good a time as any to give it a rest for the day. I slid the receipts into a folder and pushed myself up from the desk. As I locked the office door behind me, Amy stepped out of the feed room across the aisle. The door squeaked on its hinges and the latch clicked as she secured it. Doors closed and tasks handled, there we were. A few feet of packed dirt floor between us as we looked at each other, like neither of us had a clue what to say. Or if there was anything to say after last night, or this morning, or... I sure as hell didn't know what we were supposed to do next. Amy wrung her hands and focused on the aisle between us.
"Listen, after last night, I think I owe you an explanation."
Pausing, she lifted her gaze enough to just meet my eyes.
"And maybe a drink, if you want to go somewhere."
"I told you, you don't have to explain yourself to me, especially if you're not ready."
"And if I am ready?"
I swallowed. I swore her eyes begged me to agree to this, like she'd put a crack in the dam last night and needed to let the pressure off before things got any worse.
"Yeah," I said. "We can do that."
Amy smiled, and I was sure the breath she released was a relieved one.
"I can drive. We'll burn my gas."
I laughed softly and then shrugged. "Sure, why not?"